sada na koive loco. It's a bhajan of Sanchi's on page 80. O people, no one is ours, and we are not of this world. Except Sawan and Kirpal, we know nobody else. The true nam of Sawan makes the life. In a moment, it removes the dirt of birth after birth. O giver, grant us the treatment and remove the disease of egoism. O Satguru Kirpal, beloved giver, giving up the whole world, we have called upon you. Make us focused to go straight to Sachkhand. The realm of the negative power is huge. Save us from it by showering grace on us. You yourself make us free from the traps of Maya. We do not recognize your mercy on our soul. You are beyond description and name. Your form is radiant. Whenever, wherever I look, I see your form. Make Ajab obtain the grace of Kirpal and Sawan. O people, no one is ours, and we are not of this world. Except Sawan and Kirpal, we know nobody else.
Sadana kuive loko asina jahan de Sawan kirpal bacho kise nu nijan de Sadana kuive loko asina jahan de Sawan kirpal bacho kise nu nijan de Sawan da naam sacha jindagi banondae janimadi mel lagi palavichalondae Sawan da naam sacha jindagi banondae janimadi mel lagi palavichalondae Natta kardio ilijasada home rogatan de Sawan kirpal bacho kise nu nijan de Sadana kuive loko asina jahan de Sawan kirpal bacho kise nu nijan de Satguru kirpala darita piyariya chadke jahan sara tenu hi pukariya Satguru kirpala darita piyariya chadke jahan sara tenu hi pukariya sadela dio dhyana side sachkand jan de Sawan kirpal bacho kise nu nijan de Sadana kuive loko asina jahan de Sawan kirpal bacho kise nu nijan de Radhikala Dapasada Daya Kartike Bachalu Maya De Janjalavicho Apahichudalo Radhikala Dapasada Daya Kartike Bachalivo Maya De Janjalavicho Apahichudalavo Atmatera Himatera Asina Pachanade Sawana Kirpala Bacho Kisenu Nijanade Sadhana Kuiveloko Asina Jahanade Sawana Kirpala Bacho Kisenu Nijanade Tu he alakanami tera Nuri sarupa he De karme chidar disda Tera hi rupa he Tu he alakanami tera Nuri swarupa he Dekha me jidar disda Tera hi rupa he Daya kirpala swanadi Jaivanu panade Sawana kirpala bacho Kisenu nijanade Sadhana kuiveloko Asina jahanade Sawana kirpala bacho Kisenu nijanade
The realm of the negative power is huge. Save us from it by showering grace on us. You yourself make us free from the traps of Maya. We do not recognize your mercy on our soul. You are beyond description and name. Your form is radiant. Wherever I look, I see your form. Make Ajaib obtain the grace of Kirpal and Sawan. This is an announcement about a time change for evening satsang with the changing of the clocks. Starting tonight, the time of evening meditation and satsang will change to 6:30 to 7:30 for meditation, followed by satsang at 7:30. That starts tonight. This is reading from the letters of Baba Sawan Singh to his American disciples as printed in the book Spiritual Gems. This is letter number 26. Sawan Singh writes, "Spiritual progress primarily depends on the training of the mind. In ordinary man, the soul is under the control of the mind, and the mind is controlled by the senses, and the senses are led away by the objects of senses. The attention thus remains wandering from object to object. The right way should be that the senses do not run after the objects, the mind is not led away by senses, and soul has the grip on the mind and uses it as its tool to serve its purposes. The soul is to reestablish its supremacy over the mind instead of remaining its slave. Why did the soul lose its supremacy? Because it lost touch with the word and it associated with the mind. Therefore, there's only one effective method of regaining its supremacy, and that is to bring the soul in touch with the word again. The word is audible within us in the eye center. So we are to bring our scattered attention into the eye center to catch the word. For bringing the attention back into the eye center, the simplest method is the repetition of the five names, thereby keeping the attention engaged in repetition at the eye center. It is a slow affair, and slow and steady wins the race. So with faith and perseverance, continue this work. Letter 27. I am glad to learn that you are taking seriously to the practice of the lesson imparted to you. The more time you devote to it, the better shall be the result. It is a good idea of yours to hold the questions in abeyance till you have been on the path for some time. After some time, you will feel that most of them need not be put at all. But if there are some which demand replies, I shall be only too glad to answer them. As regards the shabd being stronger in the left ear, you should take your finger off the left ear whenever it is stronger in the left ear, while keeping the finger in the right ear. This will prove quite helpful in keeping the shabd in the right ear, which is the proper way of hearing shabd. After some time, the sound shall appear as coming from the middle and not from any side. That would be the right way of hearing the shabd. In case the strength of the shabd in the left ear persists, you should relax your concentration and bring your mind out in order to subdue the left ear shabd, which is to be eschewed as being the sound of the negative power, while we have to follow that of the positive power, which is either from the right side or in the middle. Letter number 28. You have expressed your inner feelings so clearly. You ask, quote, why did you ever accept such an individual? Dear soul, the master makes no mistakes in selecting persons for initiation. Only they receive the initiation whom their master wishes to bring back to him. He reveals the secret of that sound current to his chosen few. The number one sign of his being merciful to anyone is that he creates in him dissatisfaction with the worldly routine and a longing to seek the truth. The second sign is that he brings him in touch with a master. The third sign is that the master imparts to him the secret of the sound current. The fourth sign is that the initiate works diligently and faithfully on the sound current and starts the spiritual journey. In the presence of these signs, where is the room for feeling self-disgusted? The world is a thick forest, thickly populated, where all have lost their way and are ceaselessly and aimlessly running about, life after life, harassed by those great dacoits, lust, anger, greed, attachment, and pride. The remarkable thing about these dacoits is that people associate with them joyfully, and knowing that the result of their association is suffering, they have not the courage to dissociate themselves from them. They eat the poison, they cry, and they eat the poison again. Lucky is he who begins to understand the game of these dacoits. Luckier is he who tries to dissociate himself from them. And luckiest is he who meets a master guide and is put by him on the path of the sound current that leads him out of this wilderness to his eternal home of peace and bliss in Satchkhand. By and by, with the increase of time in Simran and the hearing of the sound current, the scattered attention will vacate the body and will come in concentration in the eye center. There will come a time when these dacoits will be met with inwardly in the form of young, handsome boys. No attention is to be paid to them. Their presence is to be ignored, and the attention is to be kept in the repetition or the sound current. The boys will go out from the body one by one, and when leaving, will give notice that the owner of the house is now awake and alert, and that the sound current fills the house, so there is no room for them now. Describing this state of development, Guru Nanak says, "I am lucky to escape from these dacoits, and they are lucky to escape from me." Meaning thereby, in the beginning they were strong and they had the upper hand, and when they left me, I considered myself lucky. Now that I am stronger and more powerful, they consider themselves lucky to have escaped from me in time. So with love and faith, continue your practices and watch that when in practice, the mind stays inside and does not run out. And if it runs out, put it back in Simran or the sound current, as the case may be. Everything will turn out all right. When you notice the coming of anger, begin the repetition of the names. As your meditation will improve, the anger and ego will also disappear. You are right when you say that the intellectual side of the science is far less important than the meditation. The whole secret, the knowledge, the substance, and the cherished treasure lies inside. And without going inside, it cannot be had. And the eye that is to see it is also inside. Reading of scriptures, discussions of philosophies, and recitation of prayers, that is like churning of water from which nothing but foam comes out. Going within and rising on the sound current, that is the churning of milk from which butter comes out. The primary effort of man, therefore, should be to vacate the body below the eyes and sit inside in the eye center and dig up the hidden treasure. The Master, from the time of initiation, is within you and watches you and gives necessary guidance, all of which you do not see. When you will go with him and cross the stars, the sun, and the moon, and meet the radiant form of the Master, that radiant form will talk to you, just as we talk to each other outside, and he will be with you always and answer all your inquiries. Quote, should we attempt to meditate when ill? Poor health interferes in meditation, but it does not mean that we are to give up effort. The sound current does not stop during illness. It is the soul that has to meditate and hear the sound current, and the soul never gets ill. It is the body that suffers. In fact, during illness, the blessings of the Supreme Father is extraordinary. The sound current becomes clearer. During illness, if sitting in posture is not possible, meditate while lying down. In no case is meditation to be neglected. If Kaal interferes, you ignore him. Let him do what he likes, and you do your duty. I am glad that you meditate for about an hour in the posture. When adopting the posture to hear the sound current, you can put some cushion under your buttocks in the beginning. After a month or so, this necessity will disappear. The meditation will improve gradually. Have patience. I am very pleased with you. The light will gradually become stationary. The light does not disappear. It is the mind that shakes. With the increase in concentration, the sound will leave the right ear and appear at the forehead, where you listen to it eventually. While taking a bath, there is slight concentration, and so immediately after it, the sound becomes clearer. The repetition of the five names by the mind in the eye center brings in concentration. The contemplation on the radiant form of the Master inside gives the power to stay there, and the sound current lifts upward. Therefore, give more time to repetition so long as the radiant form of the Master has not been contacted. When the form appears, then give up repetition and concentrate on the form, and then the sound current will lead you upward, the radiant form acting as the guide. Quote, must concentration become complete before we can reach the first region? Yes. The attention should vacate the body and go inside. Then it will look as if the body is not yours. It is a corpse of someone else, and you are separate from it. The same attention which was previously working within the physical body below the eyes now works inside on the astral plane. Without going into the astral plane, one cannot see what lies therein. The duty of the parents towards their children ceases when the children become self-supporting. The parents should help them to become independent. Hindu society does not countenance divorce or separation. Sant Mat does not interfere with social customs. The relation of a master with his disciples is spiritual. The fate karma undoubtedly is strong. It has to be born, and there is no escape from it. But through meditation, the willpower becomes so strong that a person does not feel or mind either its favorable or its adverse effects. If meditation has taken us above the point from where the fate karma works on us, we become indifferent to its effect. Therefore, meditation is the antidote to karma. Illness, consultation of doctors, and getting their treatment, that is also a part of karma. It is the way the debt of the doctor and of the druggist is cleared. Again, when a patient is getting treatment, his relations and friends cease making remarks and criticizing or bothering the patient, and the patient also has the satisfaction of having taken medicine. The disciple's material welfare and his success or failure in business ventures, that is a matter of karma. Before he was born, his life course was all chalked out. The number of breaths he is to take, the steps he is to move, the morsels of food he is to eat, his pain and pleasures, his poverty and riches, his success and failure, all were determined beforehand. He himself was the maker of his fate. What he had sown, he is reaping now, and what he will sow now, he will reap hereafter. If he remains worldly now, he will come back to this world. But if he changes over to the Master and the Word, he will go where the Master goes and where the Word comes from. Only these two, the Master and the Word, are our real companions who go with us here as well as hereafter. All others associate with us with selfish motives, and their association brings us back in this world. How could such a benefactor as the Master, therefore, be a silent observer of what is happening with his disciple in life? He is giving necessary guidance and help as he thinks proper. If a child suffers from a boil, the mother takes the child to a doctor to have the boil opened. The child cries, but the mother sees to the benefit of the child and not to its cries, and has the boil opened and dressed. Hence, what ordinarily is called a misfortune is a blessing in disguise. It is a way of clearing an old account. It lightens the karmic load, and the Master is not unaware of it. the master is playing his part, and if the disciple plays his part well, the work of both is smoothened. Please do not think of coming to India in the near future. We are having a lot of unrest at present. You may come over here when times are better. Letter 29. Yes, you have at last come on the right path, leading to your home from where you came in the beginning, ages ago. The first object is to make the mind motionless, so the mind and soul are collected in their center behind the eyes. Till that happens, they do not begin to work inside. Any posture that you can stay in for long, comfortably, would do. You can get such chairs made on which, on each side, you can rest your arm, and while sitting or squatting in the chair, can close your ears and eyes with your hands. The object of shutting the ears and eyes is to shut out external noises and external sights. This is only for some time in the beginning. When the mind and soul have become accustomed to sit motionless in their center, then the hands need not be used, as the whole body becomes senseless. It is not a question of time. It depends on love, faith, and eagerness as well. I could wish that before coming to India, you might have made some little progress on the path. Progress must be slow, as the mind has been accustomed to wander out for ages, and it is not easy to make the mind sit still and give up its old habits. Letter 30. I am glad that you are anxious for spiritual progress. You should go on gradually increasing the meditation time. The longer your meditation, the greater will be your control of the mind, and then you will begin to derive pleasure from the meditation, and the inner path will be opened out to you. If you find that meditation before retiring to bed gives you disturbed sleep, you can discontinue it. If you work hard on the path, you need not come to India. The radiant form of the Master will appear before you inwardly, talk to you, and answer all your questions. It is true that personal contact is beneficial, but the Master is within every one of the disciples, and those far off should try to work hard on the path while remaining at home. Their going in depends upon the intensity of their love and faith and the amount of work they put in. The Master is near you and in you and not far off. Regarding your question whether to quit when you begin to feel jittery, it is really the mind which is the source of all disturbance. You should try to continue to hold on a little longer every time so that you may feel stronger and be able to fight these obstacles. In the beginning, one has to fight the mind and overcome the uneasiness and persist in holding the center. By so doing, the mind gives up its restlessness and becomes calm. And finally, letter 31. The more time you devote to meditation, the more distinctly you will hear the sound current, which makes for peace of mind, or as you put it, helps us in chaining the monkey. I am glad to read that your meditation is improving. For ages, the mind has been developing an intense longing for things of this world, which ostensibly satisfy it for some time, but cease to do so after a while. The best way to divert the mind from the mundane baubles is to give it a taste of the inner bliss, which far transcends any earthly joy. This inner bliss can be attained by going in and listening to the inner sound constantly, or at least for as long as is possible every day. This is how the monkey can be effectively chained. I am glad that you consider meditation the most important business in life. You should increase your time for meditation. It should not be for less than 2.5 hours at a stretch, whether the mind takes interest in meditation or not. Sometimes the mind avoids it on petty excuses. When it behaves like this, it should be punished by increasing the time that day by another 30 minutes. With the increase in time, the concentration will be complete, the attention will go in, and the sound current will be your constant companion, giving you joy and peace. And we began reading from Master Kripal Singh's book, The Night is the Jungle, which is a collection of discourses that he gave. We had just begun the first one, called God and Man. And I'll continue reading in that now. Master says, it is now time to cast aside the trivial differences that exist, the non-essentials. We should just look to the purpose for which they were made and open our eyes to the reality that we all are worshiping the same God. These were meant to represent that reality which exists. Now you will find from the standpoint of all religions that God the Absolute is beyond what is known and manifested. That is something even beyond what is supporting and creating all creation. That reality is at the back of everything. Can we search him or find him? No, he cannot be searched. He is unsearchable. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty? The Almighty is inexpressible and cannot be expressed in words. Names are simply given by the Masters to express the reality, which is really unexpressible. He is the changeless one. You find, quote, forevermore, O Lord, thy word existed in heaven. Forevermore. That is the lasting reality, and that is the changeless one. Ultimately, it is unconditioned and undivided. He is the Nameless One. All the names are holy. We have respect for all names, although God is the Nameless One. By whatever name you call him, with devotion and faith, he will make appearance and you will come in contact with him. But names refer to a reality that cannot be expressed in words. All masters have tried to express that reality, each defining in his own way. Almost all definitions of God are parallel. They all say that God is the first and the last, from which nothing can be excluded and to which nothing can be added. God is omniscient, omnipresent, the primal cause, the causeless cause, the seed of all things, existence in itself. That cannot be created. That is already in existence. In the Quran, the Prophet Muhammad says, there is no variableness in God, since he is eternal, immortal, infinite. That is unchangeable permanence and everlasting reality. These words only seek to express, however imperfectly, the great reality that is at the back of all. Ever since the Masters first came, they've been trying to express that reality and chanting praises of the Lord. These have formed the subject of our holy scriptures, but still they say he is as unsaid as ever. For thousands of years, the Masters have been explaining in their own words whatever is possible. How can the inexpressible be expressed in words? That is the subject of experience you may have, through contact with that reality. But if even our outer emotions cannot be described in words, how can that reality be expressed in words? That is why it has always been said that God is inexpressible. There is the same reality working throughout all creation. Until we've had some experience of that reality, we will not know what it is like. What we now know is only what is given in books. We have had no first-hand experience of it. All masters say, it is the beginning and the end. In Isaiah it is stated, I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. Again we find, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. These are definitions given to show that reality is unchangeable permanence, which has no beginning and no end. God has no beginning and God has no end. But until we have an experience of reality, we cannot be convinced. Ever since the world began, masters have been coming and giving explanations to the best of their ability to the people. But with all that, they always have said that God is as unspoken as ever. Guru Nanak has put it very aptly. He is one. He is the first. He is all that is. His name is truth. He is the creator of all, fearing not, striking fear in not. His form on lands and waters is eternity, the one self-existent. Through the grace of his true servant, continually repeat his name. He was in the beginning, he is through all ages, and he shall be the one who lives forevermore. You see that Guru Nanak says the same thing. All masters, as they have said, had experience of that reality. Of course, when they gave their descriptions, they expressed it in their own language and in their own way. But you will find that the salient features of whatever they expressed are the same. Further, Guru Nanak says, he is beyond thought. No thinking can conceive of him. Now the question is, can we search for him within the finite pale of our intellect? No, he is beyond thought. No thinking can conceive of him. Not even if the minds of men should think for ages and ages. Then how can we know God? Our bodies, emotions, and intellects should first be stilled. Only then the revelation will dawn, and you will then know who you are. When you know who you are, you will be able to know and see what God is. That is why Guru Nanak said, if you want to grasp him within the pale of your finite intellect, he cannot be seen. It is something like the story of the tortoise of the river who went into a pond. There was another tortoise there. The river tortoise said, look here, the sea is very great and has no end. The tortoise in the pond just stepped back and said, is it so much? No, said the other, it is still greater. Then again the tortoise stepped back a little more and questioned, is it so much? And the other answered, no, it is greater still. Then the tortoise went around the whole pool of water and said, is it so much? And the other said, no, it is still greater. The tortoise of the pool was all wrong, you see, because his experience only extended to that pool of water and nothing more. Similarly, the masters have always been saying that divine knowledge was limitless, and they cannot expect to do justice to the subject. The Lord is God. If you call him anything, you simply want to bring him within the finite ambit of your intellect. When that reality is infinite, how can we express it in finite terms? This is what all the masters have been saying. And further, Guru Nanak adds, he cannot be conceived. The Upanishads say, to grasp that reality within the pale of your intellect is as impossible as trying to quench your thirst by drinking wine. At another place it is said, or it is impossible as squeezing out oil from the sand. Both are impossible. Similarly, to bring him within your intellect and understand him fully is not possible. The masters did give us something to understand that which could not be expressed in words. By their grace, we can just form some idea about him. They bring us in contact with that reality when we enter into the kingdom of God. Then we have some experience of him. After that, we can say, there is something. Guru Nanak says, I am just like a fish in the ocean. I do not know which is one end or which is the other. Similarly, we cannot grasp him within our finite intellects, nor can he be known by gaining the worlds, for man's desire is never satiated, even though all the worlds laden with gold fall to his share. No human thoughts can carry man far. The movements of his mind, the thousand acts of wisdom of the world, leave him dark, and nothing avails. Vain are the ways of man. How then to find him? Man feels helpless. Ever since the world began, all masters have been saying the same thing. We have so many scriptures at our command, so many pages of the books of God that have been written. There will be many more as each master comes and describes his contact with God or reality. From their God intoxication, they pour out whatever comes of high inspiration just to give us the knowledge of reality they have seen. Man has been trying to follow, but has failed. Then how can we see him? Ever since the world began, this has been the fate of man. Unless we see God, the question remains, what is God? Kabir says there is one reality in all, supporting all creation, that is immanent in every form. With that immanent in every form, why do we differ? Why are there so many wars? Why are there so many religions everywhere, if that is immanent in every form? The reason is that when a master came, he had some experience of that reality. To the people who met him, he simply gave them a first-hand experience of that reality. When he left the scene, to err is human, you see, some persons gathered together and they had their own way of thinking, and so changes occurred. Again, another master came. He found dross was added to reality, to the teachings of the earlier master. He thrashed out that dross and again let the people know the truth about reality to some extent. And again, another religion started. The masters never started any creed. They only gave out to the people, there is one God and you should love him. How can you love anybody until you see him and get some good out of him? Mere feelings or emotions are simply inferences arrived at by intellectual wrestlings. They will not give you any definite satisfaction. They will be wavering. Sometimes you may accept these inferences, but they are all subject to error. Unless you see reality, come in contact with it firsthand, and derive the bliss of it, ineffable and direct, and enjoy happiness within, only then will you have love for him after having tasted the elixir of that reality. When the masters come, what do they tell us? St. John says, God cannot be seen with thine eyes. But then you find that some masters said that they saw God. The question was put to Guru Nanak, do you see God? He replied, I see God. He is everywhere. Christ also said, "Behold the Lord." He pointed to the Lord, saying, "There, behold him." No reasoning. The same question was also put by Swami Vivekananda. He was initially an atheist, and he challenged everybody. Is there a God? Is there any man who has seen God? In those days, there was a man of realization, Paramhansa Ramakrishna, and he was asked to go to him. Vivekananda went to him and asked, "Master, have you seen God?" The sage Ramakrishna replied, "Yes, my child, I see God as I see you, and even more clearly than that." And he came in time to be a great theist. In the latter days of his life, Swami Vivekananda confessed, "Because of that God-man, I was saved." You will find that those who profess to be theists are, truly speaking, not so. We have simply learned in our scriptures that there is God. We've heard this many times, but we have not seen him. Unless we see something, we cannot really be convinced. When difficulties arise, the vicissitudes of life come up, and we have to pass through them, we get bewildered, and we ask, "Is there a God?" We become skeptics. But once you have seen, once you have had some experience of reality, then you cannot have any doubt. The masters say, "We see him," but what are those eyes with which he can be seen? Shams Tabriz, a Muslim saint, tells us that we should be able to see God with our own eyes and hear his voice with our own ears. You find in the Bible, we have eyes, but we see not. So what are those eyes? Guru Nanak was asked, "You say you see God everywhere." And he replied, "Those eyes with which you see God, those eyes are different." What are those eyes with which you can see God? Those are not outer eyes, but that eye which is it within each one of us. That eye is called by Christ the single eye. The eye is the light of the body. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. The Hindu scriptures and sayings of the other masters tell us of the third eye, or the latent eye. That eye is within each one of us. That one eye is not of the flesh and bone, as those we have outside on our faces. Guru Nanak defines a blind man as not the one who does not have eyes on his face, but one whose inner eye is not open to see the light of God. God cannot be expressed. That absolute state can be had only when you rise into that reality. But when this supreme power is the cause of all creation, immanent in all forms, supporting and maintaining them, it expresses itself in two ways, light and sound. And that expression of the God power is an actual experience of God-men within. It is said, God is light. The Mohammedans also say that God is nur, i.e. light. They say that one who goes above and beyond the physical body and sees the light of God within is a true Muslim. The Christian can also be defined in the same way. One who sees the light within is a true Christian. The 10th guru of the Sikhs says the same thing. Those who see the effulgent light of God within are true Sikhs or true fakirs. They are the pure ones. You will find the same definitions given in all religions, in all the holy scriptures. Have you seen the light within you? Again, they have said, if you shut the doors of the temple of the body, then you will see the light of heaven. It is a possibility. All scriptures tell us of the light of God within. The voice of God reverberates in each one of us. There is a way in which we may have an experience of that reality and its expression, and that is the way back to God. Has our closed inner eye been opened or not? That is the question. Unless the inner eye be opened, we cannot see the light of God within us. It is a question of introversion and inversion. The ultimate goal of all religions is God, and that we should be able to see God. Leaving the non-essentials, what do they tell us? They say, love thy God. This is said by all the religions. When you see and come in contact with God, only then, truly speaking, can you love God. At present, your loving God is practically impossible. Simply on the emotional side, you sometimes say certain things, but you have no contact with that reality, and true love does not arise and does not last. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees went to Christ, they returned in silence, because an intellectual man speaking to a man of realization cannot stand before him. While the latter sees certain things and then speaks, the intellectual man simply quotes verses from the Holy Scriptures which he has read, and afterwards he cannot reconcile things. Naturally, when they came to Christ, they became quiet. Then they gathered together and they came up to him. Now, Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And what did he say? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and greatest of all commandments, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The ultimate teaching of all social religions is just to love God. As God resides in every heart, love all humanity, all creation. For the love of God, you are to love all humanity. If we have love for all humanity, all the other commandments follow. He whom you love, are you going to kill him? Are you going to rob him of his property? Are you going to bear false witness against him? No, not in the least. So on these two commandments hang all other commandments. The Sermon on the Mount, the Eightfold Path of the Buddha, the Niyama-yama and Sadachar of the Hindus all speak of the same thing in their own language, of course, and in their own ways. If we live up to what the scriptures say, there will be peace on earth, and the kingdom of God will surely come on earth. Then there will be no danger of any war. What a pity! These things are given in our holy scriptures, but if we follow, if at all, the letter of the law, what a pity, these things are given in our holy scriptures, but we follow, if at all, the letter of the law at the cost of the spirit, and that is the cause of discourse. All masters came to unite men, not to separate man from man. They were lovers of God, and they taught men how to love all humanity. You will see, this is one side of the thing that we have before us. We are to love all humanity because God resides in every heart. And this is continuing a talk that from last week. This is a talk that Sanchi gave in the Bangalore group in 1987.
ਮੇਰੇ ਬਿਨਾਂ ਬੁਲਾਇਆ ਹੀ ਮੇਰੀ ਤੜਫ ਨੂੰ ਜਾਂ ਮੇਰੀਆਂ ਕਮਜ਼ੋਰੀਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਕੇ ਉਹ ਗੁਰੂ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਖੁਦ ਹੀ ਘਰੇ ਚੱਲ ਕੇ ਆਇਆ। ਇਹ ਉਦੋਂ ਵੀ ਉੱਚੇ ਭਾਗ ਸਨ ਕਿ ਜੋ ਉਸ ਦਿਆਲੂ ਗੁਰੂ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਨੇ ਕਿਹਾ ਮੈਂ ਉਹਦੀ ਆਗਿਆ ਦਾ ਉਹਦੇ ਹੁਕਮਾਂ ਦਾ ਪਾਲਣ ਕਰ ਸਕਿਆ।
ਇਟ ਵਾਜ਼ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਆਫ ਮਾਈ ਗ੍ਰੇਟ ਗੁੱਡ ਫੋਰਚੂਨ that my beloved master came to my home by himself, looking at my faults or showering grace on me or looking at my yearning. You can call anything you like. But it was his grace, and it was because of my good fortune that he himself came to my home. And it was even my greater fortune that when he came to my home himself, he himself embraced me and he gave me the knowledge.
Amen.
ਗੁਰੂ ਅਮਰਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਨਾਮ ਅਮੋਲਕ ਹੈ, ਰਤਨ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਦੇ ਕੀਮਤੀ ਹੀਰੇ ਰਤਨ ਹੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਗਿਣਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਹੀਰਿਆਂ ਦਾ ਰਤਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਮੁੱਲ ਪਾਇਆ ਜਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਇਹ ਅਮੋਲਕ ਹੈ, ਮੁੱਲ ਨੂੰ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਿਲਦਾ ਗਾ। ਇਹ ਕਿਹਦੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਹੈ, ਕਿੱਥੇ ਨਿਵਾਸ ਹੈ ਉਸਦਾ? ਕਿਸੇ ਪੂਰੇ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਪਾਸ, ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਗੁਰੂਆਂ ਦੇ ਪਾਸ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਇਹ ਸਮਾਜ ਦੇ ਲੀਡਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਾਸ ਨਹੀਂ, ਕੋਈ ਸਮਾਜ ਦੇ ਠੇਕੇਦਾਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਾਸ ਨਹੀਂ।
ਨਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਅਮਰਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਨਾਮ ਇਜ਼ ਪ੍ਰੈਸ਼ੀਅਸ, ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਐਜ਼ ਪ੍ਰੈਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਐਜ਼ ਜੂਲਸ, ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਯੂ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਦ ਮੋਰ ਪ੍ਰੈਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਥਿੰਗਸ, ਦ ਮੋਸਟ ਪ੍ਰੈਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਆਫ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਆਰ ਕਾਲਡ ਦ ਜੂਲਸ, ਐਂਡ ਬਟ ਨਾਮ ਇਜ਼ ਮੋਰ ਪ੍ਰੈਸ਼ੀਅਸ ਦੈਨ ਦ ਜੂਲਸ, ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਦ ਜੂਲਸ ਆਫ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ they can be estimated, they can be valued that how much they cost, but naam is such a thing whose cost cannot be estimated, which is precious, which is priceless. So Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj says that where does that naam reside, from where can you get that naam? He himself replies that naam is always with the gurumukhs, is always with the saints and the masters, and one can obtain it, one can get it only by going to them.
Naam roop ਗੁਰੂ ਜਦ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਨਾਮ ਦੇ ਫਾਇਦੇ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਇਹ ਅਮੋਲਕ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਜਦ ਤੱਕ ਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਉਸ ਨਾਮ ਰੂਪੀ ਗੁਰੂ ਨੂੰ ਨਹੀਂ ਪਕੜਦਾ ਗਾ, ਉਹਨਾਂ 'ਚ ਘਰੇ ਕਾਮਯਾਬ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੋ ਸਕਦਾ ਗਾ। ਅਗਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਤੋਂ ਅਲੱਗ ਨਾਮ ਨੂੰ ਢੂੰਡਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਇਸੇ ਲਈ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਾਮਯਾਬ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੋ ਸਕਦੇ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਨਾਮ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਨੇ ਪੈਦਾ ਕੀਤਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੀ ਉਹਦਾ ਨਿਵਾਸ ਹੈ।
When we get the master who has become the form of the naam, he tells us about the value of the naam, and only then can we get the naam. If we do not catch hold of the master who tells us about the naam and who has become the form of the naam, we cannot get that naam. If we try to search for the naam outside the master who has become the form of the master, we can never become successful in doing that, because our master has seen the naam, our master has created the naam, and unless we catch hold of him, unless we go to him, we cannot get that naam.
ਇਹ ਮੇਰੇ ਉੱਚੇ ਕਰਮ ਸੰਗ, ਜੋ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਭੋਲੇ ਪਹਾਚੀ ਆਪਦੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਇਹ ਗੱਲ ਕਹਿ ਸਕਿਆ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਰਾਮ 'ਚ ਵਿਸ਼ਵਾਸ ਨਹੀਂ ਰੱਖਦਾ, ਕਿਸੇ ਭਗਵਾਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਵਿਸ਼ਵਾਸ ਨਹੀਂ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਗਾ, ਮੈਂ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਦੇਖਿਆ ਹੈ, ਮੈਨੂੰ ਯਕੀਨ ਹੈ ਕਿ 6 ਫੁੱਟ ਦਾ ਚੱਲਦਾ ਫਿਰਦਾ ਭਗਵਾਨ ਮਿਲ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ, ਗੱਲਾਂ ਕਰਨ ਵਾਲਾ ਭਗਵਾਨ ਮਿਲ ਗਿਆ ਹੈ।
ਇਟ ਵਾਸ ਮਾਈ ਗੁੱਡ ਫੋਰਚੂਨ ਦੈਟ ਇਨ ਦ ਸਟੇਟ ਆਫ ਇਨੋਸੈਂਸ ਆਈ ਹੈਡ ਟੋਲਡ ਮਾਈ ਬਿਲਵਡ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਬਿਲੀਵ ਇਨ ਐਨੀ ਰਾਮਾ ਔਰ ਐਨੀ ਗੋਡ, ਆਈ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਬਿਲੀਵ ਇਨ ਐਨੀ ਅਦਰ ਗੋਡ, ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਨਾਉ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਸੀਨ, ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਰਿਸੀਵਡ ਗੋਡ ਹੂ ਇਜ਼ 6 ਫੀਟ ਟੋਲ, ਹੂ ਸਪੀਕਸ, ਹੂ ਟਾਕਸ ਐਂਡ ਹੂ ਡਜ਼ ਆਲ ਦ ਥਿੰਗਸ, ਆਈ ਐਮ ਵੈਰੀ ਫੋਰਚੂਨੇਟ ਵਨ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਗੋਟ ਯੂ ਐਸ ਅ ਗੋਡ।
ਸਾਡੇ ਹਜ਼ੂਰ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਨੇ ਸਦਾ ਹੀ ਇਹ ਕਿਹਾ ਕਿ ਮੇਰੀ ਦੇਹ ਨਾਲੋਂ ਮੇਰੇ ਬਚਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਕਦਰ ਕਰੋ। ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਮ ਰੂਪੀ ਰਤਨ ਕਿਹਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਕੱਢ ਕੇ ਰੱਖ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜੋ ਉਹਦੇ ਬਚਨਾਂ 'ਤੇ ਕਦਰ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਬਚਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਪਾਲਣਾ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਬਚਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਚੱਲਦਾ ਹੈ.
ਅਵਰ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਹਜ਼ੂਰ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਰਿਸਪੈਕਟ ਮਾਈ ਵਰਡਸ ਮੋਰ ਦੈਨ ਮਾਈ ਬਾਡੀ. ਸੋ ਹੇਅਰ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਹੂਮ ਡਸ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਗਿਵ ਦ ਜੂਅਲ ਆਫ ਨਾਮ, ਓਨਲੀ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਰਿਸਪੈਕਟ ਐਂਡ ਐਪਰੀਸ਼ੀਏਟ ਦ ਵਰਡਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਲਿਵ ਅਪ ਟੂ ਦ ਵਰਡਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਮੋਰ ਦ ਲਾਈਫ ਅਕੋਰਡਿੰਗ ਟੂ ਦ ਇੰਸਟਰਕਸ਼ਨਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਮਾਸਟਰ ਗਿਵਸ ਦੈਮ ਦੈਟ ਜੂਅਲ ਆਫ ਨਾਮ.
ਹਜ਼ੂਰ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਦਾ ਹੀ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਰਹੇ ਵੀ ਦੇਣੇ ਵਾਲੇ ਦਾ ਕੀ ਕਸੂਰ ਹੈ, ਸਵਾਲ ਤਾਂ ਲੈਣ ਵਾਲੇ ਦਾ ਹੈ. ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਨਾ ਹੀ ਇੱਕ ਮਾਤਰ ਸਾਧਨ ਹੈ ਦਇਆ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰਨ ਦਾ, ਨਾਮ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰਨ ਦਾ.
ਹਜ਼ੂਰ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਦੇਰ ਇਜ਼ ਨੋ ਫਾਲਟ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਗਿਵਰ, ਆਲ ਦ ਫਾਲਟਸ ਆਰ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਰਿਸੀਵਰ, ਇਟ ਡਿਪੈਂਡਸ ਅਪੋਨ ਦ ਰਿਸੈਪਟਿਵਿਟੀ ਆਫ ਦ ਰਿਸੀਵਰ, ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਦ ਗਿਵਰ ਹੈਜ਼ ਕਮ ਟੂ ਗਿਵ. ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਸੈਡ that the meditation of the shabad naam is the only means of receiving the grace from the master.
ਇਹ ਮੇਰੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਸੀ ਜਦ ਮੈਂ ਆਪਦੇ ਦਿਲ ਅੰਦਰ ਵੀ ਬਾਹਰ ਵੀ ਆਪਦੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਨੂੰ ਇਹ ਕਹਿ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਕਿ ਭਾਵੇਂ ਤੂੰ ਜਾਣ ਜਾਂ ਨਾ ਜਾਣ, ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰੀ ਪਿਆਰੀ ਪਤਨੀ ਹੈ, ਤੂੰ ਮੇਰਾ ਪਿਆਰਾ ਪਤੀ ਹੈ, ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਦ ਦੀ ਮੈਂ ਵਿਛੜੀ ਸੈਂ, ਤੈਨੂੰ ਮਿਲ ਕੇ ਹੀ ਮੇਰਾ ਸੁਭਾਅ ਕਾਇਮ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ.
ਦਿਸ ਵਾਸ ਦ ਵੋਇਸ ਆਫ ਮਾਈ ਸੋਲ ਵਿਚ ਆਈ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ express outwardly to my master, and sometimes in my within also I used to say this, that whether you recognize me or not, whether you recognize me or not, but I am your wife and you are my beloved husband, and I had been looking for you and now I have got you, so you accept me.
Satguru se
ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੌਣ ਉੱਚੇ ਭਾਗਾਂ ਵਾਲੇ ਹੈ, ਕਿੰਨਾ ਦੇ ਵੱਡੇ ਭਾਗ ਹਨ, ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਜੋ ਇਨਸਾਨੀ ਜਾਮਾ ਪਾ ਕੇ ਕਿਸੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਰੂਪੀ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਅਭਿਆਸੀ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਕੋਲ ਆ ਕੇ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਨਾਮਦਾਨ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹੈ.
ਹੂ ਆਰ ਦ ਮੋਸਟ ਫੋਰਚੂਨੇਟ ਵਨਸ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ, ਔਰ ਹੂ ਆਰ ਦ ਪੀਪਲ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਗੁੱਡ ਫੋਰਚੂਨ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ, ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਆਫਟਰ ਗੈਟਿੰਗ ਦ ਹਿਊਮਨ ਬਾਡੀ ਕਮ ਟੂ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਆਫ ਦ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ, ਐਂਡ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੂ ਰਿਸੀਵ ਦ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਫਰੋਮ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਇਨ ਦ ਹਿਊਮਨ ਬਾਡੀ, they are the most fortunate ones.
Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj kehnde hai nanak bhag bhale tin jan ke jo har charni jin laava hai.
Guru Nanak
har charni chit laava hai.
Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj says that those people have the good fortune, they are the fortunate ones, those who attach to the feet of Lord and those who do the devotion of Lord.
ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਦਾ ਮਿਲਣਾ ਕੋਈ ਛੋਟੀ ਜਿਹੀ ਦੌਲਤ ਨਹੀਂ, ਕੋਈ ਛੋਟੀ ਜਿਹੀ ਇਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਰਹਿਮਤ ਨਹੀਂ. ਆ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਜਿੰਨਾ ਮਸਤਕ ਧੁਰੋਂ ਹਰ ਲਿਖਿਆ ਤਿੰਨਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰ ਮਿਲਿਆ.
ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਮੀਟਿੰਗ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਅ ਵੈਰੀ ਸਮਾਲ ਥਿੰਗ, ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਅ ਸਮਾਲ ਗ੍ਰੇਸ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਆਲਮਾਈਟੀ. ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਵਨ ਮੀਟਸ ਦ ਪਰਫੈਕਟ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਓਨਲੀ ਇਫ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਰਿਟਨ ਇਨ ਹਿਸ ਫੋਰਹੈਡ, ਓਨਲੀ ਇਫ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਰਿਟਨ ਇਨ ਹਿਸ ਫੇਟ.
ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਨੇ ਪਹਿਲੀਆਂ ਤੁਕਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਬੜੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਕਿ ਤ੍ਰਿਪਤੀ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਨਾਮ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈ, ਨਾਮ ਜਪਣ ਦੀ ਯੁਗਤੀ ਜਾਂ ਨਾਮ ਦੇ ਫਾਇਦੇ ਹਾਸਲ ਕਰਨ ਦੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੈ. ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਕਿੰਨਾ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਨਾਮ ਰੋਸ਼ਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਨਾਮ ਰਤਨ ਕੱਢ ਕੇ ਰੱਖਦੇ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਬਚਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਚੱਲਦਾ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ.
ਇਨ ਦ ਫਸਟ ਫਿਊ ਲਾਈਨਸ ਗੁਰੂ ਅਮਰਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਵੈਰੀ ਲਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਐਕਸਪਲੇਨ ਟੂ ਅਸ that the real satisfaction, contentment is only in the Naam. He told us about the advantages of doing the meditation of Naam, and he also told us that from where we can get the Naam, and when we come to the Master and get the Naam initiation from him, whom does the Master give that jewel of Naam, and he told us about the benefits of the Naam.
आपने प्यार ना ये भी दस्या कि वो उच्चे भागां वाले हन जो इंसानी जामे दे विच नामदान प्राप्त करदे है पूरे गुरुआं नूं मिल लैंदे है.
Also lovingly he told us that those who after getting the human body come to the perfect master and get the naam from them are the most fortunate ones in this world.
ਹੁਣ ਅਗਲੇ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਤੁਕਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਮਨੁੱਖ ਜਾਮਾ ਪਾ ਕੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਿਲਦਾ ਨਾਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਿਲਦਾ ਗਾ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਘਾਟਾ ਬਿਆਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਇਨਸਾਨੀ ਜਾਮੇ ਨੂੰ ਉਹ ਭੰਗ ਦੇ ਪਹਾੜੇ ਹੀ ਖੋ ਕੇ ਚਲੇ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ.
Now in the coming lines he talks about those people who after getting the human body does not get the master, do not get the naam initiation, that how they waste their life, how they waste their human body without doing the thing for which they had been given.
Guru Sahib kehnde hai oh bahut hi khote bhagan wale hai bahut hi karmheen han kehne lage maut to baad oh kaal de hawale honge kaal jithe vi chahe unhan nu janm devega unhan de karma mutabik bhed banave bakri banave narkan de vich le jave chahe latan insani jame ch lave akhan lave na lave jaisa vi sharir sade karma mutabik dena chahe oh de sakda hai.
Guru Sahib says that those people are most unfortunate ones, those who do not get the master, those who do not do the meditation of Naam. And according to their karmas, according to their deeds, they will be given the punishment, they will be given the next birth. According to their karmas, it is up to God Almighty whether He wants to give them the birth of the sheep or the goat or any other animal. And even if they get the human body, it is up to God Almighty to decide according to their karmas whether they should be given both the legs or the eyes or not. So whatever God Almighty decides for them, according to their karmas which they have done, they get that, and they are the most unfortunate ones in this world, those who do not do the meditation of Naam.
Maharaj Kripal dasde hunde ki karma da kanoon atal hai, jo assi karde hain oh khud hi assi bhogde hain.
Hazur Maharaj Kripal used to say that the law of karma is such that whatever one does, he himself suffers for that.
Hindu shastran de andar vi guru da naam milna naam da naam milna aur likhya hai ke unna lokan da jinna nu guru nahi milya naam nahi milya darshan hi bura hai unna de paas baithna hi ghaate banda sauda hai.
Even in the Hindu shastras, in the Hindu scriptures, the importance of meeting the master and the importance of meeting the naam has been written. It is written that it is not good to have the darshan, it is not good to see the face of a person who does not have the master, and it is not a profitable merchandise to deal with such people who do not have the masters.
Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj kehnde hai na gure da hai naam bura oda naam hi bura hai.
Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj say that even the name of the person who does not have the master is bad.
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਬੀਰ ਨਗੁਰਾ ਨਾ ਮਿਲੇ ਪਾਪੀ ਮਿਲੇ ਹਜ਼ਾਰ ਇੱਕ ਨਗੁਰੇ ਦੀ ਪਿੱਠ ਪਰ ਲੱਖ ਪਾਪੋਂ ਦਾ ਭਾਰ.
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਓ ਕਬੀਰ ਮੇ ਆਈ ਨਾਟ ਮੀਟ ਵਿਦ ਈਵਨ ਵਨ ਪਰਸਨ ਹੂ ਹੈਸ ਹੂ ਡਸ ਨਾਟ ਹੈਵ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਬੈਟਰ ਟੂ ਮੀਟ ਥਾਊਜ਼ੰਡਸ ਆਫ ਪੀਪਲ ਹੂ ਆਰ ਦ ਸਿਨਰਸ ਬਟ ਹੂ ਹੈਵ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਹੀ ਹੂ ਡਸ ਨਾਟ ਹੈਵ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਹੀ ਕੈਰੀਜ਼ ਦ ਵੇਟ ਆਫ ਮਿਲੀਅਨਸ ਆਫ ਸਿਨਸ.
ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਸਤ ਗੁਰ ਪੁਰਖ ਨਾ
Our closing bhajan is Guru Bina Kona Sahai Narakame, Guru Bina Kona Sahai Re, a bhajan of Brahmanans on page 176. Without the Guru, who will save you from hell? Mother, father, son, friend, wife, O brother, all have self-interests. In this world, the friend of spirituality is the Satguru, who frees you from attachments. The ocean of the world is very deep, full of suffering, more than the mother's womb. Sitting in the boat of knowledge, you are taken across by the ferryman, the Guru. Erasing birth after birth, the Guru chases away all doubts, and the perfect Parbrahm Parmeshwar is revealed within. accept the Guru's word in your heart and keep devotion and love in your mind. O Brahmanand, do constant seva, and you will get the boon of liberation. Guru bina kona sahai narak me, Guru bina kona sahai re, Guru bina kona sahai narak me, Guru bina kona sahai re, Mata pita suta bandhava nari, Svarata ke sababai re, Mata pita suta bandhava nari, Svarata ke sababai re, Paramarataka bandhu jagatame, Satguru bandha chudai re, Guru bina kona sahai narak me, Guru bina kona sahai re, Guru bina kona sahai narak me, Guru bina kona sahai re, Bhavasa gar jala dustar bari, Greheb se dukdai re, Bhavasa gar jala dustar bari, Greheb se dukdai re, Guru ke vatiya paralanga ke, Gyan jahaj bitai re, Guru bina kona sahai narak me, Guru bina kona sahai re, Guru bina kona sahai narak me, Guru bina kona sahai re, Janam janam ka me te andera, sanasa sakalan sai re. Janam janam ka me te andera, sanasa sakalan sai re. Pard burdam pard me shard puran, Katame dehe dikai re, Guru bina kona sahai narak me, Guru bina kona sahai re, Guru bina kona sahai narak Guru ke bachan dar hirde me, Bhava bhagati man lai re. Guru ke bachan dar hirde me, Bhava bhagati man lai re. Brahmanand karo nita seva, Moksha padarat pai re, Guru bina kona sahai narak me, Guru bina kona sahai re, Guru bina kona sahai narak me, Guru bina kona sahai re. The ocean of the world is very deep, full of suffering, more than the mother's womb. Sitting in the boat of knowledge, you are taken across by the ferryman, the guru, without the guru, who will save you from hell. May God bless us all.